you will, remain standing and take your Bibles and go to the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verses 7 through 14. This is the word of the Lord. Beloved, I am writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I am writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away, and the true light is already shining. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. I am writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. And I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. This is God's word. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this day and for the gift of your scripture and the gathering of your people, the flock that you shepherd. And now as we bow our heads before you this morning, we ask that you stamp with your own seal of approval and blessing on the reading and the preaching of your infallible word. Amen. Please be seated. As John was writing this letter to the believers, he was emphasizing three basic points of the Christian faith. First is right theology. Second, ethical living. And thirdly, dedication to Christ. When John was composing his letter, he was writing a positive, not a hostile appeal to his readers. His aim was to redeem readers by refining their theological comprehension, sharpening their discernment, and heightening their devotional intensity to the Lord Jesus Christ. He was focused on their faith, their obedience, and their love. Yet John does not provide the reader with a required list of do's and don'ts. He is offering up the word of life. For the believer, the world's darkness is passing away, and the true light of the age of the Son of God is revealed. So let's go back and take closely a look at our text, beginning in verse 7 and 8, and then going through the rest of the passages this morning. Verses 7 and 8 say this: Beloved, I am writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I am writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. In verses 3 and 4 from last week, John has been writing about the Christian obligation to keep the commandments of God. And now John is going to write of brotherly love and in urging them to love each other. And when he does that, he assures them of his own love for them. In verse 7, he singles out one of the commandments that is, in one sense, old, but in verse 8, That same commandment he provides is also a new commandment. John doesn't reveal what the commandment is all about, but since the subject of verses 9 and 11 in our passage is love, and because the new commandment that Jesus gave in the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, is about brotherly love for one another, we can assume that the command refers to brotherly love. In this commandment, he says it's old and it's yet new. It seems to be both. First, in verse 7, John wrote it as an old commandment that the recipients had heard and known. His followers had learned it before because John had taught it. And it seems that the believers had known it from the outset of their Christian walk. Indeed, it was part of their conversion. And the old commandment was not from John, but from Jesus himself. The commandment was as old as the gospel when it was first given. Now in verse 8, John writes, "At the same time, it is a new commandment that I am writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining." The idea of love in general was not new, but Jesus invested it in several ways with a deeper and a richer meaning. First, it was new by the emphasis he gave it, bringing the love commands of Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, which says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might." And Leviticus 19:18, which says, "You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." These two passages were bundled together, and the whole teaching of the law and the prophets hung upon them. Second, it was new in the quality that Jesus gave it. A disciple was to love others, not just as he loved himself, but in the same measurement that Christ had loved him, with selfless sacrifice, even unto death. Third, it was new in the extent and the range that Jesus gave it, and shown, for instance, in the parable of the Good Samaritan, that the neighbor we must love is anyone who needs our help and compassion, Christian or otherwise. And fourth, it's also to be applied by a degree of freshness. And I don't mean a freshness of doctrinal Christianity, but new applications of the true faith given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. The Jews divided history into two parts, the present age and the age to come. But the New Testament teaches us that the age to come came with Jesus. Think of the prophecy and then the New Testament reality that God is with us. Isaiah 9:2 says, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shone." And Luke chapter 1, verses 78 and 79 says this, "Because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." And in John chapter 3, verses 19 and 21, Jesus himself tells us, "And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, And people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. And now on to verses 9 and 11 this morning. Here's what it says. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. In verse 9, John shows that Jesus, the true light, is the light of love. And therefore, to live or walk in the light of Jesus is to walk in love. Light goes with love, and darkness with hatred go together. The true Christian, the true believer, who knows God and walks in the light, both obeys God and loves his brother. The genuineness of his faith is seen in his correct relationship with God and his fellow human beings. Verses 10 and 11 both follow the general principle, first the positive and then the negative. The contrast between the two is stark and complete. Love and hatred are set against each other with no alternative as an escape. Verse 10 tells us that the Christian who loves their brother abides in the light, and it may be said that there's nothing in them to make them stumble. When the light shines in our lives, we can see clearly and walk properly. And if we love people, we can see how to avoid sinning against them. The person with hatred in their heart, because they are in the darkness, also walks around in the darkness. They don't know where they're going because the darkness has blinded them. Hatred distorts a person's perspective. It causes a person to misjudge others, and as a result, they hate them even more. They have a heart disease. Their heart has been hardened. Conversely, it is the heart of love, the heart condition that Jesus taught us, which uses and sees straightway, which thinks clearly, and makes us balanced in our outlook, our judgments, and therefore our conduct. And then verses 12 through 14. I am writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Now, John does not mean to convey to his readers that he thinks that they are in darkness or that he doubts the reality of their Christian faith. It is the false teachers within the church whom he regards as counterfeits, not the loyal members of the church who walk in the light. And remember, 2 weeks ago, I talked to you about the Gnostics, how the Gnostic teachers had come in amongst the people trying to subvert the true theology of Christianity. John, writing in these three verses, was to tell them his view of their Christian standing. And his purpose in writing them was to confirm the right assurance of their genuine Christian faith. 6 times John writes the words, "I am writing to you," or "I write to you." John divides his readers into three groups, whom he calls little children, or fathers, and young men. We don't know the exact meaning of why he addresses them in this way. I mean, after all, little children could be very old men like me if first they have embraced the Christian faith. The little children might be people with single-digit ages. And fathers could be the parents of young or grown children. But we don't know their ages or the level of their Christian maturity. Aurelius Augustine, the bishop of Hippo, in the 4th and 5th centuries, whose life spanned a tremendous amount of time in Christian discipleship, believed that verses 12 through 14 represented three different stages of spiritual pilgrimage. The little children are those who of any age are newborn into Christ. The young men are more developed Christians, strong and vigorous in spiritual warfare, while the fathers possess the depth and stability of a ripe Christian experience. John writes in verse 14 that these little ones, fathers and young men, have in the past overcome the evil one. Their conflict has become a conquest and a victory over Satan. These to whom John writes have grasped the Christian revelation. They are striving to conform their lives to the ethical demands of Scripture. Psalm 119, verses 9 through 11 says this: How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. I'd like to conclude this morning with a few words from Dr. Donald Gray Barnhouse, who was the pastor at 10th Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia from 1927 to 1960. He speaks to us this morning about ourselves and our flesh. And here's what he says, quote, St. Augustine once prayed a profound request to God, quote, O Lord, deliver me from the lust of always vindicating myself. Let me say that again. O Lord, deliver me from the lust of always vindicating myself. And Barnhouse continues, there can be no doubt, for we know it from the Bible as well as from experience, that self always wishes to vindicate itself. In the Bible, self is called the flesh. We are clearly taught there's only one way to deal with it. It cannot be trained. It cannot be reformed. Its heart is incurable. Its mind is hatred. The whole message of Scripture is a general declaration that God will not deal with humans apart from the cross of Jesus Christ. It was self that caused the death of our Lord. Yet in that death, we may find self's crucifixion and learn to have the life that flows from the Lord Jesus Christ. Barnhouse continues, Augustine was undoubtedly putting his finger on one of the principal characteristics of the flesh. It wants to defend itself. If we combine this with the fact that it's always wished to exalt itself, we have its true nature. It thinks all good of itself. It thinks no bad of itself. One of the reasons a Christian is left on earth after he is saved is to bring him into the frame of mind that will admit that so far as his relationship to God is concerned, there is no good in the flesh, and that conversely, there is all evil in the flesh. Mark chapter 7, verse 21 says, "For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, and adultery." Salvation is the admission that we cannot save ourselves and that we are willing before God to turn our backs upon self, to despise and reject it, and to turn instead to the Lord Jesus Christ, who formerly was despised and rejected, and to put all of our trust in Him, believing God's verdict about self and Christ. The Christian life is meant to teach us that we must be utterly dependent upon our Lord, and that therefore we must be willing to go daily to the funeral of our own self-rule. That is exactly what Paul meant when he said, "I am crucified with Christ," end quote. Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, may you find your people faithful and obedient to the truth of your word. Help us all to take to heart and mind the teachings of your Holy Scripture. We thank you, great Father, for the grace that you have shown to us by regenerating our spirits and leading us to your Son, the one who took the punishment that we deserve, the one who imputed his righteousness to us. Help us, like servants in the house of our Master, to be on guard and keep awake. Be our sword and our shield. In the authority of Christ we pray. Amen.